Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Wake up, everybody. Welcome into Redacted on this Wednesday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we cover the stories the mainstream media largely ignores. For whatever reason, the mainstream media is largely ignoring about America's greatest threat, which is just south of our border. They'll label you a xenophobe or a racist when you call attention to the massive amounts of cartel violence. And now that President Trump has shut down the border, what does this mean for the United States? They'd rather you focus on Iran as America's greatest threat. Of course, the greatest threat to America is very, very close to us. And we're going to go live there with some of the most unbelievable violence that's been exploding over the past few days in Mexico.
Plus, the liberal government in the United Kingdom has woken up to the fact that mass migration is a problem. It has created confused societies, mass violence, disruption, social decay. It's not convenient to say that, but now, for some reason, Keir Starmer is saying that. Has he been body snatched, Clayton?
I can't, because literally every tweet over the past few days from Keir Starmer is all about how illegal immigration is bad and how he's stepping up and really closing down the border. And it's just, yeah, I even tweeted the other day, did somebody hit you in the head? Like, who the hell are you?
This is an invasion of the body snatchers. Is that a real thing?
I think it's
a movie or something like
movie.
That.
Well,
right.
We should watch it.
Yeah.
Also, we're going to talk about the Diddy trial. A lot of crazy revelations coming out from the Diddy trial. And we're going to talk about that live from New York. And we're also going to talk about Jake Tapper. He's got a brand new book out attempting to rewrite history about his cover up and his network's cover up of the deterioration of President Biden and why they tried to keep that from the American people. He was complicit in this. Did he forget? We're going to talk about
more. I can't let this go. The media is giving themselves awards and writing books about something we all saw with our plain eyes. What the hell are they good for?
They're getting Pulitzer Prizes.
They're saying this required real investigation.
Yeah.
This, what was hidden on their noses, they're calling investigative journalism, and I cannot handle it. Also, I think once we get to this article, it will prove to you without a shadow of a doubt that elites run the Democratic Party. It's super inconvenient to see, but they admitted it in The New Yorker that it's really George Clooney, Chuck Schumer, Obama, who are the elites making decisions. F their voters is basically what this says, and it's infuriating.
All right, hold your gunpowder.
No, I'm okay.
Hold your ammo. Hold your gunpowder for a little bit later. We're gonna get there.
We're gonna jump out of our skins together.
We got a lot of news to get to. But
I believed
first,
in these assholes, Clayton. I did at one point. Okay. All right. Yes, but first we want to tell you about people who are not assholes. That is our friends over at Shopify. Shopify is the place you go when you want to launch your business to the world, and they have everything you need to grow your business. In fact, what you're looking at right there is the Redacted store. If you go to redacted.store, you'll find everything that we are able to launch to the world, such as that shirt, Communism Equals Starvation. The Redacted hat that you might see there. So if you have an idea, you need to go to Shopify because they can help you make a beautiful store, and they handle the back end as well. So the e-commerce, all the customer support, everything you need is there with round the clock support if you get stuck. So you don't need to know graphic design or e-commerce or anything like that. It's a one-stop shop. So right now, head on over to shopify.com/redacted. Sign up for a one-month trial period. Again, that's shopify.com/redacted and start selling today for a $1 per month trial period. $1 per month. Shopify.com/redacted.
Well, this might make Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro's heads explode, but the greatest threat to America is not Iran. The greatest threat to America is south of our border, the most corrupt, perhaps violent country on earth, is Mexico. Now that Trump has shut down the border, the cartels are fully at war. Of course, we've been talking about how they've really tried to move away from fentanyl because it's too hot. But the violence is stacking up. The bodies are stacking up. Joining us now is live from Tijuana, Mexico right now is Ryan Mata and Oscar Ramirez. And they have been very much nearby a mass grave site where these cartels are just dumping bodies. They have been dumping bodies, cartel violence, going after civilians, going after citizens, innocent individuals, and dumping them in these mass graves. They join us now from the border with just some heartbreaking updates about what is actually happening there. Ryan and Oscar, can you hear us?
Natalie Clayton, thank you for the invitation. The whole country of Mexico, it is a complete mass grave. Three or four months ago, they were found in an extermination camp down in Guadalajara, Jalisco. This is after President Trump just came into office and started pressuring the Mexican government with the tariffs and also labeling the cartels as terrorists. This, the Mexican president, was under pressure and created an interior war in different states of the country. Why? Because just the border has completely shut down. The illegal crossings have been completely shut down, have come down into almost 95 to 99%. And the cartel has pivoted and trickled again into what they were before, trafficking of synthetic drugs, distribution of drugs in interior communities, and also the interior wars. More extermination camps have been found. One of them was categorized like the Auschwitz of Mexico. More than 200 shoes were found with clothing and also clothing of children with shrines dedicated to the Santa Muerte, that this is the Holy Death. Now, more mass graves have been found along the border lines. Collective groups, that these collective groups are family members. The government of Mexico has been completely, and I want to say the word, completely incompetent to bring justice to the families and people, citizens. They have been abducted and have been kidnapped by the cartel itself, and they have been distributing these bodies and creating mass graves all around, you know, the border. The violence has been increasing. Interior violence has been increasing. And because of the pressure of the Trump administration and the current administration right now, the United States of America, Mexico now has dedicated themselves to a little bit to do their jobs. 758 laboratories dedicated to methamphetamine and fentanyl have been completely dismantled around the whole country, and more than 13,000 agitators and aggressors have been arrested in the country of Mexico. These aggressors were particularly, you know, cartel members and distributors of fentanyl and methamphetamine. This is what they have been given. Also, a huge laboratory a month ago was dismantled in the part of Zacatecas. More than 40 acres of property of this laboratory with more than 700 million doses of methamphetamine that they were seized on this laboratory. The mass graves are being completely found. Over here in Baja California, you have a collective group that is name is Todos Somos Eric Carrillo. Everybody's Eric Carrillo. This is a father that has dedicated himself to look for his son for more than 5 years. And on his journey, dedicated himself to find his son. Him alone has found more than 1,700 bodies near to the borderline. So this tells you the level of violence and the level of, you know, of complete disaster that these organizations are. They need to be designated immediately. They're not terrorists. They're more than that. They're completely inhuman.
So what are they fighting over? I want to ask that. I mean, they're not able to get through the border. So what is the fight about?
Did we lose them?
I think we lost them.
Oh, we lost them.
That's a shame. That was an excellent report. I mean, I don't think we understand the level of violence that is happening.
We're back. Sorry about that, guys.
Oh, they're back. Okay.
So my question, I don't know if you heard it, was why are they fighting? Because there were many reports that we saw that said that the cartel has joined forces in order to fight against the American border. What are they fighting for inside Mexican territory?
That's a phone.
No, I can't hear him.
I can't hear either.
You can hear me?
Damn, that sucks.
I think we lost. Well, we can hear you guys.
That's a shame. I mean, we've been along that border. The reception is, you know, terrible. So this was an ambitious project that we took on. We really wanted to see this story.
Well, let me just show you while we try to get this audio worked out here with them. I don't know if they're able to hear us or not, but I want to show you some images here. And Philip, maybe you can run this. So along the border right there, you're seeing these mass, you know, this is a wall here. This is on the other side of the border. This is the Mexican side of the border here. And these are all of the family members, the missing. These are all individuals who are, you know, very much likely all in these mass graves all around through Tijuana, 1,700 bodies piled up in these mass graves right along the border here. You know, journalists being targeted and killed for reporting this. And of course, now because the border is shut down, you have these, you know, you have these cartels going toe to toe with one another. And they are fighting over territory. And instead of handing over money, as Ryan was telling me earlier, they're handing over six square blocks. Like, you now get control of these six square blocks. Ryan, Oscar, are you guys able to hear us now? I think they are able to hear us here.
Yep.
So Natalie was just asking, you know, now that the border is shut down, what are they fighting over? And I tried to summarize a little bit of here what I think you told me earlier, but what exactly are they fighting over?
It's the interior war. They're going back to their normal operations. It is the distribution of narcotics and also who it is the one that is going to lead the operation in several borders in several different states. The president of Mexico distributed and also extradited more than 27 leaders and kingpins to the United States of America. This also is going to cause, you know, an instability of who is going to take over. Also, just yesterday, 17 members of El Chapo Guzman delivered themselves and surrendered themselves into the border of San Ysidro to Tijuana, right here where we are located. And according to information, they became a plea deal with the DEA. That this is also is going to create an instability in the parts of Culiacán. That Culiacán, it is a war zone between Los Chapos and Los Mayos. That it has, that war has been going on for 7 to 8 months. So it is territory. It is to send a message also to the Mexican president that they're not going to give out power. That is going to be completely difficult for them to stop and for them to be eradicated. And also, there has been some kind of multiple seized quantities of millions of doses of fentanyl. So it has been causing a fracture to the cartel, not only on human trafficking, that it was a multi-billion business that has been completely shut down, not right here only to the country of Mexico, to the whole Central America and South America, also another cartel that it was massively operating in South America, that is the Colombian cartel, Clan del Golfo, that it was a particular owner and distributor of humans through the most dangerous place to migrants, that is the Darien Gap. And now, because the new administration, that place has shut down 99% of the flow that it was crossing through there, just for everybody to know how much it was the flow, 2023, 523,000 people crossed the Darien jungle. So they're fighting more for territory and to ultimately send a message to the United States government that it's going to be completely difficult for them to stop.
What about the government itself, Ryan and Oscar? I mean, we've heard, you know, the president of Mexico, Claudia Sheinbaum, is... Would you say that that this government is doing all it can to crack down on these cartels, or is she corrupt? Is she complicit with these cartels? Are the cartels running her government?
Hey, Clayton, let's just to understand how, you know, the concern part of this, how aggressive is this? Donald Trump labeled the cartels as terrorists. Immediately, she tried to go into Congress to change the Constitution for no foreign government to name them as terrorists, only the state. So this tells you the level of protection and the level of corruption that is in the government of Mexico. And it is not about only extraditing politicians. It's not only about extraditing kingpins and drug lords. It's about extraditing the real cartel that exists in Mexico. That is the dirty politicians that control the spider web and they control these cartels to continue to distribute and continue to terrorize the citizens of Mexico.
Now, you're giving out big numbers, but we can't understand what the scope of it is. So if 700 labs were taken, what would you say that is a percentage of what there still is to fight? Because we know that this can go on like a game of whack-a-mole forever. Right. And so do you think that this is progress or is it just putting a Band-Aid on an amputated limb?
I think that is the second one. It's a Band-Aid on an amputated limb. The swamp in Mexico, it is extremely deep. 758 laboratories, possibly Claudia Sheinbaum and the government of Mexico, are just directing a smokescreen to the Trump administration to let them know that they're trying to do something. But there is actually more deeper than that. You know, Mexico has the understanding that there is quantities of tons and tons of fentanyl that they're crossing directly through their southern border to Guatemala. And that border, it is completely open. It is not shut down. It is not being vigilant. They don't have National Guard officials, although The Trump administration demanded Mexico to send more than 10,000 National Guard officials into the northern parts of the border, that they have deployed them to create inspection points to the particular vehicle ports of entry line. But that hasn't decreased. That has also pivoted into the cartel being more violent and to show it's like a competition of ego, to show the Mexican government that they're not going to be removed and that it's going to be extremely difficult for them to be removed. So, you know, these numbers, they were registered by the Mexican administration, the administration of Claudia Sheinbaum, 758 laboratories. For Americans, it is a huge number. For us, it can say that is a number that is, has been created to make just look the Trump administration that they're actually trying to do something.
You know, we hear from people that say, you know, Iran is the greatest threat to the United States of America. I mean, the images that you've sent me over the past couple of days is horrific. Let me just tell my audience, some of the videos and images that you've sent me, we cannot actually show here on the show because it is so horrible to look at. We're talking about beheadings, bodies piled up, crime scenes that you guys have gone to where there are bodies laid out with notes stapled to the dead bodies, videos of beheadings where one individual, the cartel, is literally using like a 4-inch pocket knife to cut off the head of a woman.
This is ISIS level stuff.
This is even worse than ISIS level stuff, right? I mean, so when someone says, you know, Iran is the greatest threat to the United States of America right now, I mean, you're standing in, I think, which is arguably the most violent spot in the world right now.
Yeah, this is a, you know, this is a war zone. Tijuana was categorized by the president, Claudia Sheinbaum, as the most violent city with homicides right now in the country. And, you know, Mexico has had five cities on the top 10 for violence and delinquency and homicides from the past administration of Andrés Manuel López Obrador, that under his 6 years, there were more than 217,000 murders. That tells you the murder rate. Right now in Tijuana, the city that we are located at, more than between 5 to 8 homicides are occurring per day, and continuous mass graves, they are found on possibly on Friday. We're going to go with the collective group to discover more mass graves. We were talking about the leader of this collective group. And then during this week, she found 5 bodies. She's still looking for 7 more bodies. A lot of these bodies are decomposed bodies. A lot of these bodies are found, you know, completely decomposed fragments, bone fragments. And a lot of the bodies, they have seizures in the middle of the stomach that makes us, you know, understand that some other procedure was happening before she was taken away, or they taken away their lives. So yes, you know, this is a border town next to San Diego, California. A lot of the border towns are like this, and the major concern and how much the cartels have infiltrated the United States borders, because under the Biden administration, it was completely open. The cartels grew 2 times bigger on technology, on territory, financially, and ultimately on artillery. They have grown too much that is going to be more difficult to basically eradicate them or eliminate them.
In the United States, and I know you guys are going to go be investigating some of these mass graves right now with these families, so I don't want to take up any more of your time. But Oscar, would you say, you know, when President Trump says we have MS-13 gang members infiltrated the United States, we had to stop the bleeding, we had to shut down the border, how large would you say the problem is in the United States right now of these cartels in the United States that are now operating right here in the United States?
It's national security, Clayton. I have walked 4 times the Darien Gap with hundreds and hundreds of people with the TDA. I started sounding the alarm in a caravan. I have walked more than 12 caravans. Also, sounded the alarm at a caravan in the year 2021 that TDA members were coming. We're talking about hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that they have entered, you know, the United States border. So I also have been in the middle of the Darien jungle interviewing Afghan pilots that they were fleeing Afghanistan, people from all parts of the world. This is not only a concern of TDA and also MS-13 gang members. You also have former military people, migrants, that they were walking in the jungle from Nigeria, from Congo, from parts of Cameroon, from Venezuela, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Nepal, from all parts of the world. These are former military men that they entered the United States borders, and they were deliberately and they were freely, let go immediately. So it is a major national security concern. Plus adding the Chinese migrants, that a lot of them, we interviewed them, and they said that a lot of them, they were possible spies to enter from the Jacumba border into California.
Eric Suarez in our chat room just asked this. He said, who provides the weapons to the cartels?
Okay. A lot of them, they are coming from the ports of Arizona and also from Texas into the parts of Mexico. The majority of the weapons that they, you know, the cartels are basically acquiring, they are smuggled from the parts of Arizona and the parts of Texas, and they have been identifying also military weapons from the United States also in hands of cartel members in Mexico. This has been, you know, something that has been well studied and well documented over here.
I mean, okay, I had another question. So, you know, the way the media portrays this labeling of the cartels as terrorists is with sympathy, like, oh, well, this is going to hurt the terrorists, and it will also hurt people who are maybe in a family with terrorists because they become separated. But what you're trying to show us here is, are we choosing who we care about? Because the cartels, every migrant that comes through Mexico is usually assaulted and stolen from and somehow extorted. People get killed and kidnapped. So we're pretending that once they cross their border, they're in this holy land and no one else is unsafe. We cannot pretend that anymore when you have the body count there. And it's been happening throughout the Biden administration. Young girls getting trafficked and assaulted and stolen from, babies taken. And so what do you have this message to the media that has so much sympathy for not wanting to label these cartels as terrorists?
Stop romanticizing. You're hurting us. This normalization of a conduct to create illegal and illicit conduct and to make it normal and to make it legal, it is hurting actually the collateral damage that the Biden administration has done. And, you know, all these progressive liberal activists, mercenary activists that they have come over here into our country of Mexico and infiltrated and trying to self-educate this to romanticize illegal migration has hurt completely the culture. You know, you're normalizing people migrating through a jungle, making it look like that that has to be the pathway to be raped, to die, to children to drown, to men to die, to be assaulted, also to pay in Central America massive thousands of quantities of money to be smuggled by a cartel, to be smuggled from Guatemala into Mexico, and also to migrate in the back of a tractor trailer and to arrive into the northern border and to pay also exacerbated quantities of money. They have normalized this conduct to make it okay. And this is the reason why hundreds of thousands of people were arriving and thinking that that is the way to migrate.
Damn them. I mean, really, with, like, sitting there on The View talking about, like, yeah, how this is a necessary way to be, put yourself at risk like that. So damn them for that is what I say. That's not a question. I apologize.
Someone in our chat was like, well, who exactly was doing this? Yeah, it's liberal activists, it's liberals on television. But anyway, I mean, what you're seeing here is one of the most violent countries in the world, and this violence is unbelievable. Again, the images, the stories that I've been shared, you know, that have been shared with me from Ryan and Oscar, you know, you cannot show this stuff on television. It's absolutely horrific stuff. You guys are going to be going to go investigate these mass graves with these collectors to try to find these family members of missing individuals. I want to thank you guys for your incredible reporting on this, and we'll check back with you soon. I think this is, thank you for sounding the alarm on this. This is something that every American needs to pay attention to. Ryan, Oscar, thank you guys so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Natalie and Clayton.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
He did a great job with that. It's sobering. So, I mean, this is, Iran is not the country to worry about right now. We have real worries.
I love it. You know, we have some moron. I love when she's like, oh, you know, this is sensationalist news. No, if
those are real missing people,
these are real missing people. Yeah. Can we put up the wall of the missing again, by the way?
That's too sensational for you. I'm sorry. That hurts your liberal sensibilities.
That hurts your liberal sensibilities here. These are people who are now in mass graves all along the United States southern border.
That's someone's baby they're looking for. So
is that sensational?
I'm sorry,
to
that's
you?
Sensational that hurts you to see.
Also, not to mention that Ryan and Oscar are right there in the place you're talking about. Like, is the person who thinks this is sensational, where are they?
Are you?
I love keyboard cowboys who are like literally in their fucking basement. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. And also, I love too that these, you know, what you have to understand that is an area where so many journalists have now been killed. So many Mexican journalists who have gone bravely and who have gone and tried to tell the story. Oscar himself, by the way, has been stopped by cartels three different times. And I can tell you that they don't know if they're going to live. After they're stopped by these cartels, if they find that you've got photos or videos or any kind of thing on there that's being reported that you don't want on their phone, they will maybe ask you to delete them and or B, kill you as a result of this. This is what's happening to journalists in this area. So just it's so sickening. But again, yeah, ignore it at your peril. But we have this massive amount of violence on the U.S. southern border. My point is in saying when they're trying to scare us about what's going on in Iran, no, here is the violence right now on our U.S. southern border and these cartels that are currently inside the United States already here, thanks to the Biden administration, has already happened.
Yeah.
I mean, just speak to any sheriff, by the way. Just go and talk to the local law enforcement like I have and ask them, have you seen cartel violence in your neighborhood? Have you seen arrests as a result of cartel violence? Do your own reporting on it, and you'll find that the sheriff's departments will tell you that, yes, in fact, they've seen a massive upswing in this type of violence over the past 4 years.
All right. Well, we have other news to get to. We're going to talk about migration in the United Kingdom, how Keir Starmer seems to have a head injury because he knows this now. Not sure how that happened. But before we do that, we want to tell you about our friends over at Genucel, because this is a great story. It's a great company story, is that a woman named Phyllis walked into her neighborhood pharmacy in New Jersey and asked the pharmacist for an antioxidant cream for her wrinkles. And the pharmacist says, well, I don't have one, but I'll make it for you. She uses the cream and people think she had work done on her face. It worked so well. That is the birth of Genucel. Their skincare company was born that way. And in fact, they have fantastic products for anti-wrinkle, for skin health, for magical eye cream. And again, when you use it, people will say, what? Did you get work done? What's happening? That was 25 years ago. And now they've shipped millions of orders and have the same philosophy of antioxidants, same natural base, same chef in the kitchen. And again, they're celebrating 25 years in business. Right now, you can save an extra 50% off membership pricing at Genucel's complete skincare package, featuring their under eye bags and puffiness treatment, jawline sculpting treatment, and immediate effects for results in minutes. Look 5, 10, 15 years younger, guaranteed, or your money back. So right now, if you go to genucel.com/redacted, you'll save over 50% on their complete skincare package, plus get free shipping, plus you get a free gift at checkout. Or an extra discount at checkout, rather. So head on over to genucel.com/redacted and make sure you use the code redacted at checkout. One more time, that's genucel.com/redacted.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Michael in our chat says, 2 days in a row now, you guys have reported on the most important story of the century. Thank you. Yes, yeah. The illegal trafficking of children across our U.S. southern border. And while the mainstream media ignores the story because they'll be labeled xenophobic, we're going to stay on that story, even though if it's not sexy to certain people and it doesn't make flashy headlines, I don't give a rat's ass. We're going to stay on that story.
Well, you can tell right now with the way we've labeled our show that we're going to, if you've clicked this link, you know we're going to talk about Mexico cartel. We get much higher traffic when we put some kind of war in Gaza, war in Ukraine, war with Iran, right? People are trained to be focused on that. There's a reason We're not trained to be focused on this one. What do you think that is? So we'll continue to explore that.
The way fewer viewers on today's show because they're not concerned about Mexican violence. It's so funny.
But it's clear to us or it's suppressed. Right?
Yeah, it's blocked in the algorithm or something. Yeah.
We have several guests here, so let's go ahead and move on. Has the UK, has their Prime Minister Keir Starmer been body snatched? After condoning mass migration with low barrier to entry in the UK, he is all of a sudden all in on deportations and raising the barrier of entry to migrants. His government published this white paper outlining what they call themselves radical reforms, such as requiring immigrants to speak English. So radical. Doubling the time it takes to qualify for citizenship, increasing the burden of proof for people who come for work or study. Here's what he says, and again, him saying this is something that people in the UK have been arrested for saying. So this is like Partygate. Boris Johnson can throw parties during COVID and arrest people for doing that. Keir Starmer is saying things that people have been arrested in the UK for saying is that everyone's angry about immigration. We're going to take control of our borders and we're going to smash the people smuggling gangs. Okay, this is, again, something people asked when the Southport killing happened. Was this a product of an unassimilated migrant? And they were arrested for it. He's acting like this was a campaign promise, but he did not act like this in 2016, 2020. He was very for liberal open borders. So joining us to discuss is Jim Ferguson. He is a former parliamentary candidate and journalist and also the founder of Freedom Train International. Thank you, Jim, for joining us. What do you make of this epiphany of the Prime Minister?
Well, it's just incredible. Yes, I think he probably has either been body snatched or he's completely lost his marbles. But you know something? It's very, very serious in the United Kingdom. We have boatloads coming across the English Channel every single day, and these are getting bigger and bigger. They're not little tiny dinghies anymore. These are big people, big boats coming with large numbers of people. And I think one of the things that people have to understand is that this is by design, Natalie. It's not by chance. This is a repeat, and both you and Clayton know this, but we are seeing this in the Western world. This is happening definitely by design. The question is it to sow division? Is it to completely swamp our services, our public services? But we do know that crime is increasing. Women no longer feel safe. Attacks on children are escalating as well. I've seen horrible footage just today where people have been attempted to be kidnapped in broad daylight. It's getting out of control. And I think Starmer realizes he's on a very, very thin ice with the populace in the United Kingdom right now.
I see some Brits in our chat saying he just simply wants the reform votes. That's why he's doing this, because it's been so bizarre to me. Every tweet that I look at from him over the past few days is all about illegal immigration. It's all about how he's doing stuff to stop it. I mean, like, if you want to live in the UK, you should speak English. That's common sense. So we're raising English language requirements across every main immigration route. I mean, the list is endless. Every day now he's on this story. So is it that he's really just trying to get these reform votes to stay politically relevant?
Well, I think you make a really good point there, Clayton, and your readers, their comments are spot on. They're right on target, because reform has done very well in the local elections all across England. And what is happening is that people are starting to see what's going on in their own communities. There are entire hotels that have been commandeered, even some military bases where personnel are being moved out to allow these massive numbers of migrant men coming in. And by the way, they're not asylum seekers. These are predominantly young military-aged men, aged between 19 and 30, who are coming in. They're not running from any war-torn countries. There's no women and children there. And this has been repeated, of course, in Ireland as well, and indeed in Europe. So there is something going on here that is deeply concerning. It is on purpose. And I think what Starmer is doing is following that typical globalist agenda. The West has been flooded right now. And up until very recently, it was happening on the U.S. southern border, as your previous guests were highlighting. Thanks to Donald Trump, that has now stopped, but it's still happening in the United Kingdom.
Now, he talked about how he had found, I don't remember the number. He says, you know, I've been deporting people, basically. Oh, I've already returned 24,000 people with no right to be here, and it won't stop there. So, okay. But a lot of those were voluntary after he started talking about this. And is it a sort of cat and mouse game that they're playing in front of us performatively? Like, we know there are millions And so 24,000 is a drop in the bucket, but they can release what sounds impressive if you don't know any better.
Well, that's exactly correct, Natalie. They are playing a very dangerous game, though, because the people in the United Kingdom are waking up to this. People in France, in Germany, in Sweden. I mean, Sweden is the rape capital of Europe now. They let them come in there, and now it's not just shootings every day. There are bombings going on in Sweden as well. Who would have thought we would ever have seen something like that happening in Sweden? But it is happening. It is real. And it is on purpose. There is a design. There's a methodology going on here. The question is, why are they putting so many people who have no right to be here, and they're throwing everything they can at these people? They're giving them free healthcare, mobile phones, cash handouts. It's costing the British taxpayer billions every year. Why would they be doing that and actively allowing criminals to come in here who are largely unvetted? They don't know whether they're terrorists or not. And the recent sting by MI5 and the security services, where they caught Iranians planning to attack the Israeli embassy, is very real. They don't know who's coming in, and it's putting public safety at serious risk.
You mentioned something earlier. I want to go back to it. I think it's maybe the most important point, which, you know, under the Biden administration, it was all facilitated. It was on purpose. The massive amounts of illegal immigration pouring in the United States was all facilitated by the government. You're an island nation, for crying out loud. So it has to be facilitated, as you mentioned. So the government seems complicit in this. You know, we got these smugglers. The police are complicit in the smuggling that's happening.
In fact, we know that because police have investigated these smugglers with, you know, or victims of smugglers with their smugglers sitting right there. Police have let smugglers go. We know this. We've had these reports already. So, you know, he's talking about like, ooh, I'm going to get the bad guys. But he's got to get the cops that allow the bad guys too. He said nothing of this.
Well, the RNLI is the Lifeboat Association. I mean, they're like a taxi service right now. The French Navy are escorting them in halfway across the English Channel. The RNLI boats are going out. They're picking them up and they're taking them back. And a lot of the dinghies, it's been rumored, are being recycled. So they're being flown or shipped back to France. The outboard motors are being sent separately. And then it's wash, rinse, and repeat. So there is definitely something going on. I think the United Nations are involved. But we also know that there are very wealthy billionaires like George Soros who are heavily involved in destabilization of America right now, but he's doing it to Europe as well. For some reason, they want to flood the United Kingdom with large numbers of young illegal migrant men. And it's definitely not asylum seekers. So why are they here? Why is the government so complicit in this? Because it's certainly not in the British national interest.
A color revolution?
Well, Clayton, it's been rumored that they might be acting as an insurance policy. As nations like Romania wake up, as people realize the globalist infiltration that's been going on in our respective governments and in our parliaments, perhaps they're thinking, well, if they're there in large enough numbers, if things get difficult enough for them, maybe they could be activated, or maybe to act as some kind of paramilitary or police force, maybe in another pandemic, for instance, where there is lockdowns again, where there is restrictions. Maybe they realize that the British public are not going to put up with it again. Maybe that's their way of ensuring that they are, but we are all made to be comply and with their diktats and their dystopian mandates.
That's frightening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So bottom line us, Keir Starmer's epiphany, we're not falling for it. We see through it. We don't quite trust it, right? You're a fool to trust it.
Absolutely right. And the sooner he's gone, the better. I think I've said it before. I think that Nigel Farage will be the next prime minister. And I'm not politically active any longer. I absolutely do. But there are great people in Reform UK that they're very, very patriotic. There are many other people who also are very, very patriotic, and they're deeply concerned about what's going on. There's now more illegal migrants in this country than there is British military.
Yeah, that's crazy to think
really?
About.
Really? That's astonishing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jim Ferguson. Always great to see you. Follow Jim on X. He does some incredible reporting. Jim Ferguson UK on X. He's incredible. Jim, great to see you as always. Thanks for staying up late with us tonight. I know we had some we had it later than we had intended. So thank you for that. We really appreciate it.
My absolute pleasure, Clayton. Lovely to see you and Natalie again. And good luck with the rest of the show.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jim.
All right. Coming up, we're going to talk about the Diddy trial. What do we need to know from the first days of the trial? Have your incense ready. Have your bath run. You're going to need to wash yourself of this. But we got to know what we got to know, because our next guest from the Lionel Nation YouTube channel thinks the government's going to mess this up and he's going to go free. And we will not get the lists that we want. Yes, I can. And yeah. Lionel's going to let us imagine with him. He's going to make the case. Before we get to that, though, Clayton has something to tell you.
I do. Are you ready to break free from the outdated buy and hold crypto strategies? Unlock the true potential of cryptocurrency. Welcome to the cryptocurrency revolution from Block Trust IRA. Their AI-driven technology predicts the market with computer-driven accuracy. Whether you have a retirement account like a 401k or an IRA, or just cash savings sitting in a bank, making you little to no interest, Block Trust's IRA's clients are able to maximize their earnings potential and outperform the market. They're the only crypto management firm in the market that's using cutting-edge technology to improve returns and significantly reduce risk. Crypto has created more than 80,000 new millionaires just in the last year. And you could be next. Block Trust IRA makes financial freedom available to everyone by accepting both IRA and cash investments from around the world. And unlike meme coins or scam coins that prey on hardworking Americans, Block Trust IRA has the best-in-class military-grade technology. Their clients are 100% insured for up to $200 million. So right now, in fact, if you go to redactednewscrypto.com, you can get started with Block Trust IRA. And they offer the industry's lowest fees, military-grade security, the power of elite AI technology, all tailored for everyday Americans. In fact, if you go to redactednewscrypto.com, they are so confident in their ability to help you succeed that for a limited time, they're offering up to a $2,500 bonus in crypto when you open an account. Yes, receive up to $2,500 in bonus crypto when you open an account. Go to redactednewscrypto.com today. Click on the link in the description below this video or call their 800 number, 1-877-649-6732, just to get started today.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
The Diddy trial, let's discuss it and then have your incense ready to get it off you. Our next guest, Lionel from the Lionel Nation YouTube channel, says the government could blow this because they're just not making a good case. What we've seen so far is gross, but Lionel has made the case many times. It's not illegal to be gross. It's not illegal to be a pervert. It's not illegal to have, you know,
Baby sex oil parties.
Like, yeah. So what is illegal about this? What's the case? Sure, there's a salacious interest here, but is the government failing to make this a trafficking case? Lionel, good to see you. Lay it on me.
Good to see you. That should be the title of your book. It's not illegal to be gross. I like that. I think we all know that.
That's what I always say.
First of all, number one, three charges. What do you think Diddy's charged with? Three charges.
Sex trafficking.
It had to do with weapons, if
That's
I recall.
That's where we start. Not beating up Cassie, not having a party, not using baby oil, not having, you know, escorts do undinism and forms of urolagnia. I'm going to keep this safe. No. See, that's great for TMZ and Harvey Levin. He's charged with racketeering conspiracy for allegedly running a criminal enterprise. So when you hear something, when you hear a fact, ask yourself, where is the criminal enterprise? That's number one. Number two, sex trafficking through force, fraud, or coercion. Was Cassie, the only one I'm hearing about so far, we're going to hear about others, was she forced into this? Could she leave? Do you think she made any money from this? Did she benefit? Was anybody actually held, kidnapped for? I don't know. That's number two. And third, my favorite, transporting individuals across state lines for prostitution. This is the white slavery statute. of 1910, the Mann Act. This is what. So whenever you hear somebody talk about this, whenever you hear this, you got to ask yourself, where are these charges? That's number one. Number two, let me tell you how he could walk. First, load up before you begin with the court filing copious motions in limine, meaning, judge, do not let this in, and pray to God the judge denies them all. Thank you. I am creating the record on appeal. Thank you, judge. Number two, stand up and object to everything. What does Cassie have to do with trafficking? In cross-examination, Ms. Ventura, were you trafficked? No. Could you have left?
Well, she says he had some texts, he had some sex videos, he was threatening to release. Yeah, I mean, again, that's not against the law, right?
Revenge. Yeah. Did you ever hear of revenge? Did you ever hear about this? About, hey, I'm going to make your life miserable. I've got this picture. Is that trafficking? Right. Let me ask this question. And this doesn't really come into play, but I want you to put this into perspective. Do you think maybe we could go back in life and look at the Stones, the Beatles, the Doors, the Who, Led Zeppelin? Remember the Led Zeppelin stories? Who had their own versions of freak-off parties, roadies? Remember the Plaster Casters, Sweet Sweet Connie? The whole notion of groupies and... This is the most convoluted story so far, and if this is where they're going, because you want to start off with your best stuff first. You don't want to lead into something. Never lead into something, because you got to anticipate the judge could say, "I don't want to hear any more of this." But judge, I was leading into this. Sorry. Ask your next witness. Where are we going with this? Everybody who takes the stand, everybody, first question, could you leave? Were you told you had to be there? As opposed to, and you mentioned that great piece you did about Mexican, about cartels. Those people are trafficked. You want to talk about traffic? Traffic, threatened. They can't leave. Kidnapping. These were parties. Where were these other people? And by the way, another question. The individuals that they get, these escorts who did these despicable acts with Cassie, remember that guy?
Yeah.
First question to this fellow. Did anybody grant you immunity? Because you did this to Cassie, not Diddy. You did these despicable acts. You defiled her. You degraded her. You abused her. You did this. So you're testifying under oath, or somebody said you did this. Did the government grant you immunity? Are you the Sammy the Bull, so to speak, of this? Why weren't you charged with this? Then we go on. And what happens is, if the jury gets the impression, forget Diddy, his gray hair, the sweaters, the Bible, any of that TMZ Harvey Levin stuff that nobody, no lawyer cares about that. But assuming you're there and say, I'm going to be here for 6 weeks, and this is a dog. And pretty soon you're going to say, you know what? Why am I here? What are we talking about? And after a while, when you start to look at these people, and you don't want to act, you know, you don't want to be emotionally discourteous to these people, but you're going to have to ask, why were you there during the course of this? You made how much money? I mean, Diddy, I'm not supporting him. Do you know how many jobs this guy started? Do you know what he's done? The Hamptons White Party? Do you know how many people, how many young women were on a waiting list to go to be defiled and trafficked? What are they talking about? Why are they? This better get good and quick, because I'm not here.
That's what I wanted to get to. So that's what you're saying here. I mean, you're not defending Diddy at all. What you're saying is the prosecution here. Like, what is the state doing? What is the government doing in this case?
Precisely.
They're not doing, they're leading off with her, and they're not even going after the most harmful stuff. If you have this massive sex trafficking operation, Why aren't we hearing about that right now, right out of the gate? How horrible was this stuff?
Right. It's a lot like the Stormy Daniels bit where, you know, you're prejudicing the jury with grossness, but that doesn't have to be a part of the case. You have to make the crime the lead.
And you're bringing up something which is the most important case. In the Federal Rules of Evidence, there's this rule 403. This is my favorite. And what it says is, you cannot put on evidence that you know is so prejudicial, even though it's probative, even though it's important. Classic example. In a murder case, you have to always introduce evidence that who this murdered person is. Who is he? Who's the stiff? Who is he? So you have somebody, maybe it's dental records, maybe it's somebody they knew, and sometimes maybe it's a relative. Can you imagine if during the course of the murder prosecution, I as a prosecutor want to introduce evidence and I call the mother of the victim and I say, I'm showing you what's been marked as state's exhibit number one. Do you know who this is? The judge will say, that just prejudiced the jury. That's a mistrial. What are you doing? You can't do that. That's 403. So what they're doing is they're going to be hearing about, oh, my God, this poor pregnant woman, when they defiled her. And they may not be able to understand. Wait a minute. I've got to remember that's not what he was charged with. Clayton, if you were charged with speeding, and at your hearing, somebody brings up evidence of you were drunk. It's like, wait a minute. That's a bad thing. That's not what I'm charged with. Yeah, but we found bottles. That's not what I'm charged with. This idea that you can just bring out everything and just show case after case. Now, remember, who was the individual who trafficked, and that's force, fraud, or coercion? Why were you there? Do you know how many people are going to say, well, you know, Diddy might have promised, wheedled, cajoled them by promising them, big roles in the music business. My friends, we've all been kind of in the entertainment business for a long time. Have you ever heard about a radio station or a TV station or a producer or a manager who might have sometimes promised somebody the stars and might have maybe taken advantage? This happens all the time. Do you know that right now in the world of professional sports, between the NFL, Major League Baseball, and the NBA, there's about 3,000 athletes. Do you know how many roadies there are, how many groupies there are when the teams go into hotels who follow them? I'm not trying to blame the victim. I'm not doing this. But as I hearken back to your brilliant report before, we've got victims. We have people who were disappeared, put in boxcars and in tractor trailers, sent labor trafficking. That's what the government should be paying attention to, not this. And I don't want to blame the victim, but you've got to ask yourself the question. If all of these women, I'm sorry to say this, went there of their own volition, wanting to rub shoulders, rub elbows with whoever, I'm not saying if there are cases of individuals who are minors, but I'm not, I've got to ask yourself the question, and I'm sorry, somebody's got to ask this, what do you want? What do you want? What do you think you're going to get? Is this where the federal government should be paying its limited attention and time? That's what I'm going to say.
Well, his lawyer had said, I think on CNN, Diddy's lawyer said, we don't think they have evidence of this where it would have been in the initial indictment, because the initial indictment, salacious as it was thin on evidence. There's just some pictures of guns with serial numbers rubbed off. And so you're right. Did you kidnap people? It comes to mind. The Ottomans would tie ladies' hair together so that they could rape them in a circle. Like, no one was dragged there and couldn't. Like, where is that evidence? So then the question is, why did the Biden Justice Department take this on in the first place? What were they trying to prove?
Good luck with that one. I don't know. I think he pissed somebody off. But we're looking at a couple of things here. Number one, when it comes time for at the end of the government's case, they issue whatever a motion for a judgment of acquittal, and this is where the defense says, "You have not proved a prima facie case of these three charges." That's number one. If they say fine, then you go to the defendant's Diddy's case in chief, And this is where you go bananas. Let's talk about other people. Because what if I were to call as a witness? Now, think about this. And I'm not going to say this. Pick the top three, four, five names in either hip-hop or entertainment, just one after another. Mick Jagger, whatever. Jay-Z. I'm not saying they're involved in it. But all of a sudden, they'll say, what is this? Hold it. Why? I want you to help us create the narrative of what these parties were. Well, you were there, weren't you? Wait a minute. Hold it. I'm not saying he can threaten this, but this is a part of his case, because what is Diddy saying? I'm not a trafficker. These were parties. Look, you might think they're salacious, and there's a lot of things that go on regarding people's private lives. It's none of our business. It's been around since the days of Charlie Chaplin and Fatty Arbuckle, and from day one. They can really get creative with this. If that fails, we're looking at a reversal possibly on appeal, because you're laying the groundwork. An appellate court is going to be saying, why did you let all this evidence in? Now, Natalie, here's one for you. You want to get double conspiracy theory? What if they're deliberately setting this up to teach him a lesson, but throwing it so that he walks?
Yeah.
I mean, do you want to go down? Yeah. That's not even a rabbit hole. That's a rat's nest in a spider hole. None of this makes any sense. Why do you have this pregnant Cassie? What is the purpose? Miss Ventura, where were you part of white slavery, which is the expression, you know, Jack Johnson, R. Kelly, and Chuck Berry? No. Were you part of the racketeering enterprise? No. Were you part of the, why are you here? What are you doing? Oh, you just want to tell the stories about, he's a terrible person. And tell me, friends, what does that beating, you know, when you show people, listen, I'm one of the few prosecutors who actually prosecuted pornography cases in the 80s, and we never got a conviction. Wow. Because after you see something for five times, you're saying, Jesus, lady, play a trumpet for now and then. How many times are we going to see the Cassie video? We're going to say, enough with this. He's not charged with battery. She's settled. This is over. Why are you showing us this video?
Can I ask you a dumb question, and we'll get you out of here, Lionel. I know you got to go, but can they, through this case, through everything that's coming out with these witnesses in the courtroom right now, can they pull out new pieces of evidence that would not be admissible in this particular case, but could be used later in another case? Like they pull out, they find out information that he hasn't been charged with right now. Yeah. This gets to a mistrial. And then we go through a whole nother trial because of new evidence that was discovered during this trial.
If it's new evidence, or that's a great question, or in reverse, a la Weinstein, they bring up something that says, you know what? We're going to bring up a rebuttal witness. This is great when you get when you try this later on. They say, who's this? Well, this is another woman that Diddy beat up. Wait a minute. Who's she? Well, it's similar fact evidence. What? It's to show that there's a pattern. Wait a minute, a pattern of what? A pattern of trafficking? No, a pattern of beating up women. He's not charged with beating up women. It doesn't matter. This is what they do now. Look at the Weinstein case, and he's the most despicable. But believe me, he's a choir boy, whatever that means, compared to this. They're going to get real desperate. Remember, because Jim Comey's daughter, at least years ago, was a part, I don't know if she's still a part of the case right now. What was the purpose of this? And do you know, seriously, if he, here's my favorite, my fantasy. He says one day, if I say, Diddy, it's over. Take the stand and go nuts. And he says, okay, folks, I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you about these people. And he just starts naming names. And he says, this is what my industry does. Do you know where I learned about this? You know where I met these people? It was at so-and-so's party and what they did. This is what we do. These women are on a waiting list. We had to hire security to keep the women out. When was the last time traffickers had to hire security to keep victims from being trafficked?
We got a wait list. Yeah.
Right. No,
yeah,
really.
That's a great point.
I'm telling you. Like, I got a gold card. And baby oil? I mean, is that against the law? I don't want to ask you people what you do with your own personal lives, but the last time I checked, this is, I mean, this is, if I remember one thing, when that jury gets the impression that this case stinks. And you're thinking, you're wasting my time with this. Then it doesn't matter whether it's Diddy. It's like, wait a minute. Give us, you promised us something. Come on, we're waiting. I want to see a picture. Now, listen, I'm not trying to be sad, but imagine children, pictures of them being pulled out of a tractor trailer, chained, you know, something like that, Sound of Freedom or something. Now, that's trafficking. Or people who said, my name is Clayton Mars, and I'm involved in the trafficking division of Bad Boy Records. I used to arrange all of these prostitution crossing state lines. We would have a traffic division and a travel division. That might be good. Or we would work with others to... That's the kind of stuff. Think El Chapo, cartels, trafficking. Right. Not
where's the deadbolts
individual.
On the door you couldn't leave?
Yeah, where's the Matt Lauer deadbolts on the door?
Right,
precisely.
Yeah,
precisely.
We need to see that. Yeah.
No, this is fascinating. I think a lot of people thought, I will just say this, Lionel, I think a lot of people thought, oh, this would be like an open and shut case, right? He's
no.
so dirty, all the, you know, and now it doesn't look like that at all.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to go back to one thing, too. Ghislaine Maxwell. Remember what she was charged with? She was charged with basically being a human trafficker by herself and running an enterprise by herself. She was also charged, yeah. I think the first time in history, for lying on a deposition. My God, everybody lies. What?
Yeah.
And so those are the three cases. You've got to hold people. Remember, if I represent you, I'm going to say, show me the indictment. That's it. I don't care what else you did. This is what we've got to prove. On this date, at this time, with these people, in this state, I mean, very specific. They had all the time in the world with that grand jury to charge them with anything. You, like they said in Jack Reacher, remember, you wanted this. These were your charges. Now you're going to eat them because you're going to live with this and die with this. Nothing else. Just these. And I'm going to get a big poster in court, and I'm going to point to them and say, let's go through element number one. Any trafficking evidence? No. How about this? Violation of the Mann Act? No. How about the, where's the enterprise? Did he? He had his one-man racketeering enterprise? No. This is, what are we doing here? And as soon as the jury says, yeah, and they look at the government and say, yeah, what are we doing here? Then all of a sudden, Diddy can just sit there. And especially he's looking like something from like an Uncle Remus with the gray hair. He looks like Morgan Freeman. You're looking at him, and believe it or not, they're looking at him, and you know he doesn't look like. That's not the. Are you?
Yeah.
You know that might have been then. And by the way, wait till some witness shows up. I hate to say this. What if she's 40 years old? Who are you? I'm one of the girls. When was this? 20 years ago. This is the, is there anybody, is there anything new here? Nope. So this case is going to stink. Harvey Levin and TMZ notwithstanding. And I have nothing against Harvey.
He's
salacious.
Yeah, the salacious side of it. Yeah, exactly. And
yeah, a lot of traffic on TikTok. You know, people like, ooh, he did this, he did. Right. But that's not against the law. Read Kafka. Do you want to be charged with nothing and put to death? You know, like the government's got to bring the goods, and we all have to root for the government to give it their best. And if they don't have anything, then we can't live in a Kafka-esque society.
I cannot tell you, in my career, I have had cases thrown out because they never specified the county that this thing took place in. I know it may sound like trivial, but it's an affirmative part of the case of the prosecution. They never... If Natalie, if you're charged with something, they've got to prove your county, your state, on this date, on or about. And if they bring in all this evidence of you being Al Capone, but they never said where, they never established jurisdiction, they never proved why this let's say court or this jurisdiction, this prosecutor is charging you, the case goes away. Do you know how many? One time we had a murder case where they granted a judgment of acquittal because nobody bothered to say who the stiff was. They never identified him. It was a murder, but they never, well, who is he? You were charged with killing John Smith. Who's that? Is that John Smith? Well, and it may seem like trivial to you, it may seem like a technicality. It's called due process. Like in Kilmar Garcia, everybody wants due process. It's simple. Listen, I'd rather have a really strong misdemeanor than a crappy felony. Give me something that's real easy to prove. Give me one, two counts, simple. And you know how you can tell a good charge is when they plead to it. Oop. I think I've gone dark here.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and this is something Kash Patel, you know, spoke openly about before he became the head of the FBI, which is that, you know, the government screws up all the time. And it was his job in many ways to call out the failures of the government on a regular basis.
There you are. Right. Yeah. You got to bring the goods. Back. If you're going to bring a case like this, it's got to be solid. We need the government to have A-level lawyers who can file a bang-up indictment that's foolproof, and it doesn't seem that that's what we have. No one here is rooting for Diddy to live a happy life and, you know, like have be totally exonerated. Yeah. We're not condoning Diddy. We just, again, we want to know what the crime is.
Last thing, if I could, we have lost a notion of critical thinking. Do you know recently somebody said, I hate to keep talking about this, you know, this guy Kilmore or Garcia, whatever.
Yeah.
The president said, well, you know, this MS-13, this was Photoshopped. What difference does it make? Why are you focusing on this? If I got a Photoshop picture of Hitler, it's still Hitler. What I'm saying is people don't understand the idea of critical thinking and accusation. That's not the issue. The issue was not whether a picture was photographed. The issue is not whether Diddy was involved in the salacious or... And by the way, they're not going to bring in Justin Bieber. He's not a part of this. People are talking about Justin Bieber and what about the... No.
Yeah.
This is on this date... At this place with these people, and there's a bill of particulars which home in more on this. It's not about let's throw everything at Diddy and see what happens. It's a particular charge and a particular date, and you've got to prove it, and you have the burden. Diddy doesn't have to prove anything. That's the way we do it. That's due process.
Yeah. Thank you, Lionel.
Lionel, great to see you as always.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, subscribe to the Lionel Nation YouTube channel for more of that.
I think when his camera got all blurry, it's got to watch that extra baby oil.
Oh,
that's what it is.
Yeah. Someone
you
in the chat one night.
Bastard, you.
I know. I am a sick bastard.
Oh, I'm being accused of being a sick bastard because someone in the chat when I mentioned the Ottomans. They said, what kind of books does she read?
Oh, you don't want to know. Yeah.
No.
Lionel, great to see you, as always. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. All the best.
All right. Coming up, we got a lot more news to get to. We're going to talk about...
Democratic elites.
Yeah.
How they stole the election. Yeah. How they're accused, rewriting history, accusing President Biden from stealing the election. He won the primaries. It was his right. They are absolutely assholes, and we're going to go through exactly what they're admitting to us in this rewrite of history. But first,
can you tell us about our friends over at American Financing?
Sure, I can do that. You know that the Federal Reserve kept interest rates as they are. So right now, it's hard. We still got a high inflation number. Now, the Trump administration is saying, hey, this is, you know, lower inflation. That's true, but life is still so super expensive. So if you've been living on your credit cards and racking up high interest debt, then you might want to look into leveraging your assets. Now, most people's main asset is their primary home. And so if you have equity in your home, then what you can do is what wealthy people do is leverage that so that you can trade bad debt for good. Our friends over at American Financing can help teach you that. If you call them at 866-890-8434, give them 10 minutes, and they can teach you, again, something that wealthy people do all the time, leverage their assets. And, you know, you don't hoard your assets. You leverage. You turn bad debt into good. You can also head on over to AmericanFinancing.net/redacted. They can help you refinance or put a new or leverage your home loan for a smaller interest rate, get rid of those credit card debts, and you can also skip a mortgage payment or two, which would give you a lot of breathing room. They've been saving their customers an average of $800 a month. So one more time, that's 866-890-8434. Just take some time to learn this, see if it works for you and your family. It really could give you some breathing room. Or head on over to AmericanFinancing.net/redacted.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
All right.
All right. So I want to talk about this. I've been wanting to talk about this Jake Tapper story now for 2 days, and this is infuriating. So Jake Tapper, the horrible reporter from CNN, has just released this brand new book along with reporter Alex Thompson's called Original Sin, President Biden's Decline, Its Cover-Up, and His Disastrous Choice to Run Again.
Now, the American media is trying to place blame on the Biden White House for hiding President Biden's decline. And now the media is congratulating themselves for having seen it now that there's no consequence to them. So it's a heinous rewriting of their own sins and incredibly frustrating. Now, CNN's Jake Tapper is promoting this book. His co-author is this person, Alex Thompson, who won a White House Press Correspondents Award for reporting this. Think about this. The press is rewarding themselves for, quote, rooting out Biden's decline. I ask you, what the F do we need them for if they are giving themselves an award for investigating what was plain common knowledge? They investigated. I mean, it's like they're investigating that women exist. They're investigating that the sky is blue. They are absolute useless assholes. Okay, so what they're doing is changing this narrative. Not that we all knew that Biden was declining, which we did. We reported it here on this show. But that they just found out that the White House was hiding it from them. Now, Tapper, Jake Tapper himself, many times reported on how Biden was not declining. So he's rewriting history as if he didn't know, when here's just a quick 2 minute clip of him pretending it wasn't true. Watch.
How do you think it makes little kids with stutters feel when they see you make a comment like that?
It's very clearly a cognitive decline.
Okay.
That's what I'm referring to. It makes me uncomfortable.
This is so amazing. It's so amazing to me
and try and figure out an answer.
A cognitive decline.
President Biden embraces his stutter, talking about it, while Trump mocks it, exaggerates it, belittles it. He's sharp physically. I mean, mentally.
Yeah.
I think the question is physically, right?
Right.
More so?
Right.
Right. And the guy who's his chief opponent is only 3 or 4 years younger than him.
Exactly.
I mean, you have questioned President Biden's age, mental fitness, ability to lead. Of those supporting Biden, you said, quote, shame on all of you pretending everything is okay. You're leading us and him into a disaster. Do you worry that you damaged him at all? I don't doubt that you got hugs and handshakes behind closed doors today, and maybe even publicly, some of them, because they like you personally. But I've heard a lot of really nasty stuff about you from your Democratic colleagues.
Sure.
I mean, just like, what is he thinking? Exercise in narcissism. I mean, false claims to the Wall Street Journal about President Biden's mental fitness and acuity. He's 81, and his memory, you know, it doesn't seem great. It's not horrible, but I don't understand the outrage. Quote, behind closed doors, Biden shows signs of slipping, unquote. The Wall Street Journal is owned by News Corp, which is run by the Murdochs. Beyond the headline, there is some critical nuance here. The article is mostly based on observations of Republicans, with former Speaker Kevin McCarthy the only one going on the record. They do note in the article that most of the criticism comes from Republicans. Have you heard any concerns from anyone who has met with President Biden about him seeming a little slower?
No.
The Russians are trying to do to make us and the public not trust our election integrity. Joe Biden has dementia, all this stuff.
Yeah, so, okay. So this idea that it was Republicans who were spinning this narrative, you didn't see it with your own eyes, even in your own reporting, your own interviews with President Biden, you didn't see it, you pretended you didn't see it. You
covered it up. You actively dismissed those claims. We watched you just now.
Right. And so even in this New Yorker piece that was just released yesterday by Jake Tapper, saying, you know, that Democrats launched a coup against the president, removing him from office when they decided that he couldn't win.
So there's a quote from Chuck Schumer there. It says, if things go south at the debate, me, Barack, Nancy, and Hakeem have a plan B. That's what Chuck Schumer said. So Democrats were saying, we see him doing badly. If we think he can't win, we're going to come up with a plan B. May I remind you, it was not for kingmakers to have a plan B. President Biden won the Democratic primary. Voters chose him. So why, Clayton, would these elites say, we have a plan B that's outside the hands of the voters? What are you going to say, Philip?
Nothing.
Philip saying something?
No, he wasn't.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard.
I was going to say something, if I can. So the problem that I have with this is Jake Tapper on television dismissing all of these reports that he knew personally. And you can hear it in his voice. I don't know if he's being paid or told to not say this, but then now he's trying to claim that, no, we were on the case. Me and Alex Thompson were on the case from the very beginning. We were covering this. We were finding it difficult because we were being stonewalled. So listen to him on CNN yesterday promoting this book that we were being lied to. We were being misdirected. We were being misled. So that's the new narrative from these Democratic operatives, Chuck Todd and others, that we were being missed. We simply didn't see it. You had all of the evidence in front of you. And not only that, you covered it up and hid it. And you purposefully blamed it on Republicans. You blamed it on Putin. You blamed it on the Murdochs for publishing articles inside the Wall Street Journal. And your own network purposefully hid this information. So here he is yesterday, now completely changing his tune. Watch this.
I'm just curious as to whether or not this kind of trying to hide what was happening with the president at the time had an impact on the press corps. Like, why didn't we hear some of these details from what they actually saw and were dealing with trying to get information?
We did.
Well, I just showed you. I tried to shut that down.
Well, Alex Thompson and I were on the case, as were lots of other reporters, trying to figure out what was going on behind the scenes.
Liar!
The bottom line is the White House was lying, not only to the press, not only to the public, but they were lying to members of their own cabinet. They were lying to White House staffers. They were lying to Democratic members of Congress, to donors.
Everyone knew that.
About how bad things had gotten. And in fact, Alex and I started writing this book after the election of 2024. And
when it was safe to do so.
We spoke with more than 200 people, most of whom, almost all of whom, were Democrats. And almost all of whom wouldn't be honest with us or wouldn't be candid with us until after the election. And then after the election, we found out all of these things that when you looked at what was going on with President Biden at the time, it probably doesn't surprise you the extent to which he was deteriorating. But now we have anecdotes and facts about what was really going on behind the scenes with details that Democrats wouldn't share with us until after Election Day.
You have to wait till the after the election to find out that these 200 people were lying to you. So what, all 200 people were lying to you before the election, and now you trust them after the election when it was safe to do so? So you're on the case. When did you start your case, by the way? You started it after the election? You decided, right. You and Alex Thompson decided after the election to start to write this book, like something smells weird?
Because
you
had we're the rolling evidence. The tape of what happened during the election.
You
we saw it.
Had the evidence ahead of time. So you wait till right after
on it.
You waited till right after the election to write a book about this. You don't just like one day wake up after the election and decide to write a book. Like one person tipped you off. No. You had this information beforehand and you sat on it or ignored it, didn't act on it. And you waited till after the election to write it. And now you're blaming the Biden administration for this. No. It was all plain as day for everyone to see. Everyone saw it.
Yeah, I mean,
even your own network's debate where President Biden couldn't even put two sentences together against President Trump on your network's television coverage. All of this was true. We covered it. Like, so it's unbelievable. You wait till after the election and now we're supposed to buy your book. You're going to make money off of this.
Oh, the book has pre-reviews with 5-star reviews and it's already the number one seller. Who the F is reading this? Why would you trust this person who actively tried not to know this during the campaign and then all of a sudden always knew it? What are you going to say, Philip? I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I was just going to say this, like, so it would be the equivalent of like a cop showing up at a murder scene and there's 50 people pointing saying that guy did it. And the cop goes over and say, did you do this? And the guy says, no. Cop's like, it's good. We're good. You have to ignore the 50. Like, this information was out there. People were telling them. So there were no investigative journalism was done. They were just spouting what they were told. They're just like repeating, regurgitating.
No investigative journalism was needed. It was there in plain sight.
But I also love the collaboration here and sort of the putting words in someone's mouth. Franklin Fuhr was on. He was from The Atlantic. And he was on in September of 2023. And even here, Franklin is explaining what is happening with Biden's deterioration. We played a snippet of this just a minute ago, but I'm going to play like the longer clip here because this is where Jake Tapper basically, you know, admits that, oh, we're not talking about his mental acuity here. What we're really, we're deflecting. We're just going to talk about his ability to walk. Like, you know, it could just be his physical abilities right now. His mental acuity is really strong. Watch this.
How do you think it makes little kids with stutters feel when they see you make a comment like that?
It's very clearly a cognitive.
Two more. Yeah, flip two more forward. The Franklin Fuhr one. Next, there we go.
Yep, that guy.
Aging is not a singular experience. Everybody,
no, it's different for everyone.
Everybody ages, and there's not a sell-by date for human beings.
Right.
They pass the point where they're no longer up to the job. I think Nikki Haley has talked about a mental acuity test for presidential candidates, and everything I've seen about Joe Biden, he would pass that test.
Right. He's sharp physically. I mean, mentally.
Yeah.
I think the question is physically, right?
Right.
More so?
Right. Well, and then how do we ask that question? So everybody slows down as they age, and he maybe doesn't have the stamina to do the type of public appearances he would have done when he was 70 or 60, but does that mean that he doesn't have the stamina to do the job? I mean, I don't think there's like a simple answer to these questions, and it's all very subjective at the end of the day.
Right, and the guy who's his chief opponent is only 3 or 4 years younger than him.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Now, these are the same people who were all in at the end of the first Trump term that Trump was incapacitated. He was sloppy, he rambled, that Trump, we needed to evoke, what was it, the 75th Amendment or something, that we needed to have Mike Pence step in because he wasn't healthy, right? So they were fully ready to endorse that Donald Trump was crumbling before our eyes, but ignored when it actually happened with Biden. Now, another thing that really sets my hair on fire is the tone of this, because Democrats are blaming Joe Biden and his White House for having stayed in the race. And they're saying this is election denialism, you guys, is what they're doing. They're saying that he stole it from the American people because he ran. Well, he was the president of the United States of America. He had the right to choose to run again. He promised he wouldn't, but he changed his mind because that's who he was, right? He wanted to run again. Democratic voters primaried him. They chose him. They could have chosen someone else. Jake Tapper, however, writes that the primary was illegitimate. Look at this from the New Yorker piece. This is a quote from Joe Biden, the next piece. A quote from Joe Biden saying, "There was a process open to anyone who wanted to run. Only three people chose to challenge me." Now, what Jake Tapper writes here is that was not true. They don't qualify how. They don't say what was not true. That there wasn't a primary? There was. That three people challenged him? There was. Are they saying that Democrats push down legitimate candidates? That's true. They do, right? Look at Bernie Sanders. Look at Pete Buttigieg. They could have had more of a career if the Democrats had let them. But what about that is not true? They're saying the primaries were illegitimate, and therefore Democratic strategists didn't have to abide by them, I guess. If we look back up, it says all these people started to mobilize, and when there was real evidence of Biden's decline, take a look at this paragraph. Can we go back to that same screen? It says that was too much for Clooney. He'd had enough. So Clooney himself decided, we got to get Joe Biden out of there. I call Barack Obama. I call Nancy Pelosi. I call Chuck Schumer. We're going to change this. We're not going to let him run. Why is it up to George Clooney to change this? It should have always been up. You have to honor the primaries. He was chosen in a primary, and they said, nope, we're going to take that choice away from the voters. We're going to install Kamala Harris. That was not theirs to do. Any Democratic voters should be mad as snakes that they thought that they could do it. But now at least they are admitting what we reported all along is that they cooed him. They pushed him out. They decided he couldn't run. It was them. It was never the voters, and it was never the actual president of the United States.
And once again, a reiteration of why no one should trust the legacy media. They were lying right to your face. All of those people on those CNN panels were lying right to your face. Those reporters that had access, that were close to those people. You had people like Corinne Jean-Pierre right at the White House podium, who every morning was meeting with President Biden. She was lying right to your face, telling you that he was fine, that all of these things were deep fakes. That was my other favorite thing, too, that they called these things. They invented that terminology.
Oh, after the George Clooney party
What did they call him? A deep fake? Or no, it wasn't a deep fake. They called it something else.
No, they did. They said it was AI and deep fakes.
Yeah, that a lot of these, everything that you're seeing, all the videos you're seeing, was it something?
It was like selectively edited, but there was a different term they were using, not deep fake, but like it was something fake where they were saying it was like specifically edited to make him look incompetent. That was the one where he's standing there like kind of wandering around with like Ursula von der Leyen and like several other European leaders and. Yeah.
Emmanuel Macron. Yeah. If anyone in the chat room.
Oh, they called them cheap fakes.
Cheap fakes.
That's what they called it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so she would stand up there at the podium and say these are cheap fakes, that he wasn't wandering off the stage with George Clooney, with Barack Obama leading him off there. That was a cheap fake. They were telling us all of these stories about it being totally cheap and all, you know, fake news, basically. What you were seeing with your own eyes. Don't believe your own eyes. These are all cheap, phony videos. How can anyone trust these people? How can anyone trust these people? And by the way, Chuck Todd pretends to be all, you know, outraged right now. He was a part of the problem. He was a part of the cover-up. There he was on television just yesterday when Chuck Schumer was on television. He was blasting Chuck Schumer as he got off the air. He said he was part of the problem. Senator Chuck Schumer is part of the cover-up.
I mean...
No, you, Chuck Todd, you, Jake Tapper, all of these people who had access... Who know exactly what was going on?
Have integrity.
You guys were part of the problem.
Eat your own.
You guys were part of the cover up.
Yeah. So, anyway, all right. Let us know what you think about this. We are just incredibly frustrated because we were called names for saying what was clear to the rest of us, and for pointing out every time the Biden administration lied to us. Corinne Jean-Pierre lied to us. There were good reporters asking real questions and were called names for it. And now they come back and rewrite the script as if they knew all along they are Death Eaters. So let us know what you think of this. All right. That's going to do it for us today. Thank you for sticking with us on Redacted. We had some great guests
today. I want to tell you about our store. Go to redactedstore.com and check it out. We've got a lot of great stuff over there, by the way. You can check out all of our new shirts and hoodies and mugs and everything. Just go to redactedstore.com, support independent journalism, and grab a t-shirt. Hey, Father's Day is coming up. Grab an America First mug for the father in your family, or, you know, hey, communism equals starvation, or the I Will Not Comply. One of our hottest sellers is the I Will Not Comply hoodie and t-shirt as well. So check it out. Go to redactedstore.com and join the rebellion. We thank you for your support. We will be back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you for being a supporter of the show, and we'll see you tomorrow.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.